Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the meeting. As always, Father Jesus HS, I'll give you their love, and I give you my peace. And we will open with a short prayer. Kind Father, we all bow before you, and we bring our thanks and our praise and our love and adoration. And our hearts, Father, are filled with an excitement because we know that you have tailor-made this meeting for us. Many hours of preparation have gone into this, and we are appreciative, Father, of all the time that you spend with us. We have invited the three of you to be with us, and if we do not have the opportunity, Father, to come to you as many times as we used to in the past for services, it is kind and nice of you to actually provide for the team a moment where we can spend time with you and be close. We pray for all the hearts that are connected on this call and those that were not maybe able to make it, that, Father, now you will provide that there's no problems or difficulties, that if there are troubled hearts, they are now lifted and you will take care of the issues when they're ready, and that, Father, we can stay in a moment of peace to learn what it is you have to say to us, and that, Father, as a group, we can share different experiences with each other, and we can learn from each other. We lay our concerns in your hands. You know everything, Father, and we appreciate even this day that we're able to be in your home and receive your word and also all the sacraments. And in accordance with your will, we ask these things and know how much we love you, Father. Thank you. Please hear us. Amen.
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 All right. I spoke with Father on Thursday, and this is what he had to say. My very dear team, it is good to see all of you. I would like to touch on Aerostar for a minute. Triland and Starlight will expound on this after my message. Brandon was more interested in his needs than the needs of the team and my will. This is why Triland let him go. Can somebody mute their phone, please? There's a lot of noise in the background. Thank you. And Triland will tell you that he was not surprised. In fact, he was waiting to be let go. As I have said in the past, every opportunity is a learning opportunity. I am not chastising Brandon in front of you. I am just bringing a few things to your attention. He was one of the guardians I have been addressing over the past months, trying to encourage him and others to work, to fulfill your vow, to not sleep, but to be vigilant and active. He chose to pick a different path. Again, you will hear more detail in a few minutes from Trilight. I will tell you that my plan is moving forward, my plan of having my son announced. I have not brought this subject up for a while. I have been moving a lot of hearts. Is it not funny that recently my son was contacted and told that some people in our church still have a problem with him, and he has not been doing anything as of late, except attending services and midweek experiences. All of this has been brought on by Satan. He is desperate. And, unfortunately, certain souls entertain his will. He creates separation from me and between my children. Triland took this information in stride and told the other person he did not care. Why do I share this with you? Because in time, all of you will be picked on, your names smeared, and your lives picked apart by the whole world. I have and will continue to prepare you for all that is coming. Do not be discouraged. Trisis reminded all of us of the team watchword a few weeks ago. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, do not let that go to your head, the Trisis. I have told you that I will always be with you. You have nothing to fear in the future. You can ask my son how often, while he was going through these kinds of moments, that he felt he would never make it through, only then to look back and realize that I was always there helping him, and I will do that for all of you. Look at Jesus' apostles in the first church. Do you think they had it easy? They did not. Jesus prepared them well. You are stronger than the world. You are not of this world. Perhaps all of you have forgotten that I changed your energies. You are not made of the energies of the initial creation. You are different, a new creature I created for this purpose. Triland will expound a little on this later. You have a glorious purpose, a rich future. All I need you to do is stay with me and serve my will. My plan will be complete. The bride will be called home, and all of you will then have rest. Well, for a little while, then the 1,000-year kingdom of peace work will start. And maybe, just maybe, I will serve cake at my son's wedding. Now remember to be strong and loving, just like your Father in heaven, and know I love all of you very deeply. Does anybody have any questions or comments or something they'd like to add?
What kind of cake?
He says chocolate and vanilla. Go ahead.
I can tell you that we, Tom and I, were under attack last night. It was a horrible night. So I'm not surprised. And even what we heard in the services the last couple times, I find that Father's always, he always prepares us. So the message was always, I'm with you. Do not be afraid. Things may not happen the way that you would like them to, or the way that you think, or at the time when you would like them to happen. So I kind of knew that something was coming. So that's just another confirmation that you gave. But we had a real horrible night last night, so I'm kind of thankful to hear that word.
Wonderful. Anybody else?
You said that you weren't being, that you're, someone's having problems with you. When did you hear that?
About a week ago Sunday, someone from a district said that he was communicating with some people on Facebook, and they were making points about me and how they don't appreciate what I do, and that I'm crazy, and in time I'm going to answer for everything that I do. Go ahead.
It's not from our congregation.
No, it's from a completely different. It's from a completely different district per se. Mm-hmm. These people, one in the past, I had helped and had given energy healings and had given held classes, meditation classes. The other one read my book and told this friend of mine that she had to burn it because it was pure evil. And then this other one that I had held the classes for and gave energy healings to turned completely against me when I told her that she is not the woman of my dreams, and she stalked me for 2 years. She actually left the church because she believed that you don't just have to have a penis, excuse my crudeness, to be a minister, that women have a place in every other church. Why don't they have a place in the New Apostolic Church? And I had told my friend, well, if this person would stick around long enough, it's going to happen. Father's going to do that. But right now, it's just, as the chief apostle said in the past, it's the tradition of the church that men hold these offices. But I've said in the past in many meetings that that's going to change because there's not enough guys that want to do this work. And they're very abusive and they're very mean with what they say. And I said to my friend, honestly, I really don't care. Because his initial contact to me was, when are you going to be announced? I said, I have no idea, and I honestly don't care right now. I have a lot of other things on my plate. So, anybody else have a question or comment? Okay. Blazar is going to give the next part of Christianity, and I ask that you don't go any more than 10 minutes because I have a boatload of things to discuss with the team, please.
Okay. I will reduce this then.
Thank you.
Okay, so
if you got to bump it into the next month's meeting, wonderful.
I'll do that then.
Okay.
Okay, so basically, as we heard that Christianity, the first church, was being persecuted by the Roman Empire, and then finally it was accepted. So the church fathers, they actually are considered the apostolic church fathers, like Clement, who was the bishop of Rome. He was a disciple of Paul, and Polycarp, which is the bishop of Smyrna, he was a disciple of John, and Pappus of Hierapolis was a disciple of John and Ignatius was another disciple of John. All these men had to formulate what the church dogma was. What they were seeing is that the church was getting pressure externally and internally. Externally, they were getting pressure from the Greco-Roman world, okay? A lot of philosophers were popping up and criticizing Christianity. And then, obviously, the Jews, they were persecuting the church for a while, and they were putting pressure on the church as well. What occurred, if you can remember, Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD. And what the Romans did is they got so fed up with the Jews that they grabbed them and dispersed them throughout the Roman Empire. And so at the time, and if you, last week's text actually mentioned about how the congregation, you know, went into the temple in one accord, and they worshiped in the temple, and they broke bread amongst themselves in their homes. So at this time, the Jews and the Christians were going to church or going to temple, and what the Jews were trying to do is they were trying to influence the way that they would worship. So it was kind of like this Jewish Christian thing going on, and where the Christians would end up going to their homes and having fellowship and being together. And so these church fathers started realizing that we need to set our own way, our own path, and that we have to give explanations about what our faith is. We have to defend our faith is what they basically talked about. And so they started internally the pressures that were going on as there were these heresies that were popping up. Gnosticism, Arianism, Marcionism. There were a lot of people coming up with different thoughts about what the Trinity was about the nature and the divinity of Christ. Arianism was the one that really caused a great effect upon the church because the Arians were saying God created Jesus. He was a creature created by God. And so this influenced the church quite a bit that they finally got together with the emperor, and the emperor called a meeting. And it was the ecumenical councils. And so in these ecumenical councils, we can, the Council of Nicaea occurred. And in this council, the Nicene Creed came forth. And the Nicene Creed basically says that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, that he was born and raised of the Virgin Mary. And we can read it in the creeds. And if you look in the catechism, section 2 under creeds, it gives the whole explanation of the Nicene Creed. And so what this finally, what they decided to do is they addressed Arianism and called it a heresy to try to remove it from the church and say that God, that Jesus is the Son of God, and they are, you know, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father, the Trinity, are one and of the same being, the same divinity, of the same Spirit. They also, in this council, set a date for Easter, because what they wanted to do is they wanted to separate from Passover. And also in this council, they decided to put preeminence on the Bishop of Rome, the Bishop of Alexandria, and the Bishop of Antioch, because this is where the main bishops were throughout the church. And this is a time like before they any kind of pressure of the Islamic faith coming in. Basically, it was a very much a universal church at the time. So in this Council of Nicaea, it basically explained the divinity of Christ. It also explained how to do baptism. There was like this big argument talking about how you should baptize somebody. You know, whether you had to immerse them fully in a river, or you used a bucket of water, or it had, if the water had to be moving. So a lot of, you know, the church fathers got together and they set this dogma and doctrine so that there could be a line moving forward, and that they would be able to defend the faith from the external pressures and the internal pressures of different different people trying to come up with different things or attacking the church. So that is pretty much the First Council of Nicaea. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions? All right. We had the opportunity to be with the Apostle Orlovsky this past Wednesday, and he read a text, John 17, 15, and 16, but I'm also going to add 17. I do not pray that you should be taken, or I'm sorry, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Father reminded all of us that we are not made from the initial creation anymore, and that we are made of a different energy. I'm merely bringing this up because I thought to myself, we're not of this world, and we are in a position to teach and to be examples, and the point that you and I are going to make is that we're going to be talking about Father's truth. We are ones who are the reflection of Father's truth, and there are things that you and I have been taught that we know about that not everyone in the church does. Starlight and I had the opportunity to give a healing yesterday to a couple, and in that healing, the wife was told that the church has gone too far to the left, and we're going to actually come back around. And we used to have the opportunity to be with Father 12 times in a month. That was when we had three services a week. That was almost 20 years ago. And then they decided to take away the afternoon service, and they cut it down to 8. And now in the United States, we only have the opportunity to spend time with Father 5 times a month. And I thought to myself, so I'm trying to understand, if we're all trying to get to the kingdom, why is the leadership of our church preventing us from spending time with Father? He is going to change that in time. Now, what's a little irritating for me is that the Canadians, they get to be with Father more than I do or you do in the United States. But I think with the exchange rate of blessings, it all kind of evens out, I think. Just not sure yet. But I thought about that. I'm like, holy cow, Father, you get to spend more time with the Canadians than everybody else in this world, and we're getting screwed. Excuse my French, but
you're right.
Understand.
The math works
right.
Itself out.
Yeah, it does. It always will. But I guess I'm bringing this up because I want to ask the question, do we have enough respect? Do we fear Father? Do we have God fear? Do we think about, and we brought this up in many previous meetings, do we think about the effort that Father makes to prepare a service for us? I know during the course of the week, I ask him for things. I talk with him. I ask for forgiveness. I ask, sometimes I specifically ask for something, and he'll give that to me in the service. And I think what a lot of people don't realize is that our perfection is tied completely with the services. Because Jesus said, unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no part on me. And the word of life comes from Father. There is nothing else. So honestly, I think to myself that the United States is actually starving at different points, because apparently the midweek service doesn't count. It's not the same. Even the apostle, when he held the service this past week, said some people think that when an apostle holds a service that there's a greater blessing. That's just not the case. He said the blessing is exactly the same if a deacon were standing here holding a service. The office does not matter. It matters that the blessing and everything that we receive comes from our Heavenly Father, not from the person serving. So maybe we think to ourselves, I don't need to go on a midweek service because it's not really going to be that big a deal. To which I ask this question again, how much effort have we made and how much preparation have we done? Sometimes people like to use the example that they're tired and Father's going to understand. Well, I have news for you. No, he's not. And I know that some people on the team, they want to not come to the midweek service, which is once a month. Again, if you come for all five services, that's only five services. The midweek experience does not take the place of a divine service. And I know that we're all tired. I can honestly tell you that when I was going through my recuperation from my knee surgery, I didn't want to leave the house, and I didn't. I actually called Q, and I listened on the phone and joined the midweek experiences that way. I'm going to throw my wife under the bus, and I'm going to use her as an example. She doesn't get home on a Wednesday until 10 to 7. She drives an hour both ways to work. She comes in, she changes her clothes, and we are in the truck by 7 so that we're not late. And then we don't get home until 9:30, and she has to get up at 4:30 the next day because that's one of her early days. Never once have I heard my wife complain or say she's too tired. She does look tired when she comes home, and the easiest thing would be for us just to say, you know what, Father's going to understand, it's no big deal. But I am not going to insult Father by not coming to the service. And I'll also share this with you. We pray and ask Father constantly for help. We ask him, please help me with my shortcomings. Have you ever considered that what you need for your perfection to overcome something is in a service that you blew off? Think about that for a moment. The one thing that would probably have helped you get through that week, you decided that you didn't need it. And you basically, every time we do something like that, beloved, and I'm not trying to yell at anybody, and I'm not trying to chastise anybody or be a jerk, my heart aches when I come on a Wednesday night and there's not even but a third or a quarter of those that come on a Sunday. And sometimes, I don't think anybody has this privilege, you don't get to see Father's face when he stands there and looks at the benches and how empty they are. It is his mission to share his kingdom with us, but he's not going to just let anybody in just because you think he understands. I had a little note here for myself, and all it says is the kingdom of heaven is not easily attained. It takes great effort. We cannot think that Father's going to cut us some slack because we're guardians or we're related or married to a guardian. That's not how it works. You need to make your own effort. And even though we individually fight to overcome our shortcomings and become the bride, it is the group of us that learn from one another and hold each other's hands as we walk through life together, learning from each other. So when we all get the opportunity to go into the kingdom, he's going to allow everyone to walk in at the same time because no one is greater than anybody else. But if you and I don't do our homework and we don't do what's asked of us, then how is it that Father's going to extend to us even an invitation? Does this all make sense? I felt I just needed to share that with everybody, okay? I'm not, again, trying to be a jerk or throw anybody under the bus or make you feel guilty. You can do that all on your own. I'm sure you will, and that's fine. Does anybody have any questions?
I wanted to say something really quick. Our evangelist, he made the point of, he was talking a little bit about the midweek services, and he said that, and he acknowledged that the Wednesday services are not the same as Sunday. They don't have the same feeling, but it's still a divine service. But so if you come there on a Wednesday and you have the expectations of a Sunday, It's just a totally different feel. So don't be disappointed that it has a different feeling than Sunday.
Yes.
That's all.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Our mom used to tell us that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What if you're going to miss the one service? And it's been on my heart, honestly. I mean, I think about our different meetings and discussions that we've had and trying to come up with how to be better, right? And attending a service is required. And, you know, obviously, we try to do more. And it's funny that the Wednesday services were taken away, and now we're like, oh, we can't go. Well, we can't go to the one that's there, so what are we complaining about? You know, oh, I can't go to that one. That's the one I have to miss. But I'm talking in general, my attitude, when I've had different ideas, right? It's like, oh, the midweek service, the midweek experience. I'm like, well, I'm not even going to the one that's there, so shut up. You know, so what really? I mean, if people are arguing that, it's like, then you should be at every Wednesday service, you know, and there should be 100 people there on a Wednesday night. So, you know, it's just funny how human nature works, right? We complain about stuff and then we don't really think about what we're talking about. But God's got right. A recorder.
Yes, he does. He doesn't forget anything.
I would like to add something. Today
sure.
We heard, you can hear me? Because before
yes.
I was talking, I think I had it on mute.
You probably did.
Yeah, I think so. So today we actually heard in the service how it's funny how when people are given something that's free, they don't value it as much as something that they have to pay a lot for.
Yes.
If it's for free, you kind of take it for granted. If it's something that you've paid a lot of money for, it's more precious to you. And our district evangelist was actually saying that in relation to Holy Communion, how we should never take it for granted, that it's always there, but that it should be just as precious to us as if it was something that was very valuable or that is very valuable. And I guess after a while, we start to look at the services that way too. Well, anytime we go on a Wednesday or a Sunday, we know that someone will always be there. Someone will always be able to listen to the service. It's okay if we miss one or two. I can understand that train of thought. However, it made me think also years ago, Tom was in a business, and they were trying to get people to come to a seminar. And so they advertised and they said, this is a free seminar. They had no one come or very few people come to the seminar. But as soon as they put a dollar value attached where there was an admission that was charged, they had lots of people coming to the seminar. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is maybe it's that we're taking it for granted and we don't realize how precious it really is to us until you don't have it. So now more people are missing services in the United States. It's become more precious to them than if it was always available. And I guess that's something that we need to keep in mind too, right? That we don't
yes.
take Holy Communion for granted, the forgiveness of sins, even coming to the service, or like you said, that we're praying for something and maybe we will be getting the answer in that particular service that we miss. So I think it's, yeah, that it's free, but it still should be just as precious as if we had to pay $1 million to attend the service.
Correct. Anybody else? Okay. Father had mentioned about Aerostar. I'm not going to discuss Brandon. That's not my intention. What I thought that I should share, because Father loves his every opportunity is a learning opportunity, I know that the next day after I had removed him from the team, when you get removed from the team or you decide to step down, you are stripped of your power and authority. The special gifts that Father gives you to be a guardian are removed. We remove the healing master and all your angels, and you remove the power of God from you. And I was told by my sister that he felt empty and lost and completely alone. And he cried the next day because then he realized what he had lost. and gave up. Honestly, I didn't want any of you to ever have to experience that. So I asked Starlight if she would share with you her experience of what she felt and went through after she stepped down. Starlighty.
All right. So I did step down from the team a few years ago, and I believe, I can't even remember how long I was off the team, but it is a very different feeling, and you don't realize all of the gifts and everything that Father has given us until it's either taken away or given up. And during that time when I was off the team, I was trying. I knew that I still had gifts because we all have our original gifts that Father gave to us, but there's this emptiness inside, and I also spent time still with. I would meditate, and I still spent time with Jesus and Father, but that was great. And I was still trying to hold onto my faith and grow in my faith, but I walked around for a long time. And there was this emptiness and loneliness that is, it still gives me a feeling inside that I never want to go back to. It's almost uncomfortable. You feel like you lost yourself, and in a way you feel like you've lost your purpose. You still have gifts, so you can still serve Father in a different capacity, but it is an unnerving feeling to know that you no longer, it's a reality check, I guess, that you no longer have all of your angels. You still have your one angel, but they have this presence that you're used to that is now no longer there. You had, your team, they're no longer there. You know, I still kept friendships and things with our team here, but there is this loneliness, and I know that the reality for Brandon was tough, that he could die. Any of us could die, honestly, but as our team, we have a larger part of the greater plan, so Triland always says death is not an option, but we have other gifts such as being able to heal. We have POG. We have all these things, and now you're vulnerable. I guess that's the easiest word to say, is that you're vulnerable now. You're vulnerable to the world. With being on the team, we have an extra layer of protection, and now you're thrown right back into the world, and now it's feast or famine, and you've been able to almost take yourself out of it, or you've had protection from it, and now you're left to reacclimate to it. And it took a long time, and I can't ever say that I did reacclimate to it. I just lived, and I was just dealing with it, but I knew also what I had given up as well, and I didn't realize how much it actually impacts our life on a day-to-day basis until it was gone. Any questions?
Thank you. Yep. Anybody? Okay. Now, Brandon had the Archangel Derryfield assigned to him as his chief lead angel. And Derryfield's virtues are of strength and perseverance. And I can tell you that Brandon did not utilize Derryfield as he should have. So I'm asking everyone, are you spending time with your archangel? Are you gleaning their virtues so that they can help you become better at being a guardian? You all can answer yourself that question, okay? I want to discuss now, I have this strange feeling that maybe I'm just going to ask these questions. Are you tired? Are you having trouble meditating? Is it hard for you to focus? Are you having difficulty praying? And do you feel disconnected? This past, I have been experiencing all of that, except the difficult to pray thing. For the past month or so, I have been looking in my own space. I have been doing the dailies. I have been running energy. I have been meditating. It's been very difficult. I have not really been seeing as clearly as I used to, and I couldn't find anything. Then on Friday, my wife contacted me through text, and I will let her share this part from here.
Okay. So it honestly started on Thursday when we were with Atmos and Danielle, and he was saying that he just felt really tired and just really weird. And while we were sitting there, I happened to see this little, it was very strange. It was like a shimmer behind him, but it was as quick as it was there, as quick as it was gone. It didn't feel evil. It didn't feel anything. Honestly, it just caught my eye, and I just sort of just sat there for a second, and I didn't know if it was part of, you know, one of his angels or whatnot. So I just thought, okay, well, I'll just, you know, just kind of sat it aside, and I'll just figure it out later. So Friday, I was meditating, and it was just still sort of nagging at me trying to figure it out, because whatever it was, it just didn't fit, I guess. It was just different. So I went and I stood outside of Atmos' space, and he had an entity attached to him, and it went through, it was on standing on the outside of basically his pog shield, went through the pog shield, through his aura, into his person. So I ended up cutting it from the outside, destroyed it. But the funny thing was, is that it wasn't like a normal, to me, a normal entity or something evil. I stood there for a little bit trying to figure out what it was, because it had the same kind of, it didn't have the feeling of evil. You know, when we come across a demon or something evil, it's just this, you know, it's a feeling in our chest, or we just automatically know. That wasn't there. So that caught me off guard, and it was like a took on presence of light, and was trying to basically hide itself. So it was attached on. I took care of that, and then I sent a text to Trilan, just updating him on what was going on. And then he had responded back to me, and I offered to look into his space because, like he had said, he just, something wasn't right. And so I actually stepped into his space, and he had this, it was just this haze inside of his aura and in his pog shield, like his, I picture it kind of as like the bubble that's around him. It was this haze in there, and I pogged it, and it wouldn't go away. And again, I didn't have any like feelings of like my chest was crushing, that it was evil, but I couldn't understand necessarily what it was. So I pogged it again, and finally it basically melted. Like it almost like was like dripping like honey, but it was of the color of light. It looked like a honey or a molasses melting, and it finally came out of his space. So then after that, he was immediately feeling better, a relief. Atmos had said after he had, after I took care of the entity for him, he said that I mentioned to, you know, refill his energy and his son and all that. And then I believe he meditated and he started feeling better and everything was flowing much better. And then I believe the same with Triland as well.
Correct. So in that vein, I was with Q and Cindy this afternoon, and Q said, can you check my space? And I went into his space and I did find the exact same thing. So I'm going to ask everyone to reach out to Starlight and have her check your space. She can do it over the phone. And what you're going to need to do when you get in contact with her is you're going to need to drop your pog shield, and you're going to have to drop your roses. This is just the guardians that are being affected this way. And because this is such a unique, you know, we're all used to different demons that Satan likes to throw at us, this is more of an entity that doesn't have any mass to it, which is causing us the inability to detect it. And I'll be honest with you, I felt like garbage for over a month. And no matter what I looked for or tried to find, I never saw this thing. because it takes on the energy of Pog. It pretends to be that. So, everyone, please reach out to Starlight because she's got nothing better to do. Okay? Any questions? Anybody? Concerns? Okay. Priest Quasar assisted this morning in the service, and I asked him to share a point he made, and the question he asked the congregation was, are we open to Father? Q.
And it still hasn't come to me exactly, but I know that when I began to serve, the question first came with the Bible verse that we had. It said, great trials of tribulation. And when we think about ourselves, would we ever wish for that? And of course we wouldn't. And the next thing that came was, okay, so now with the difficulty that you've gone through in the past, when you see the end result and how you benefited from it, would you choose to not go through that? And the answers are different. We would never ask to go through something, but we wouldn't take away anything that we've gone through because it's in Father's hands and he knows what's needed, necessary, and beneficial for us. And Triland, if you could expound on what you heard.
For me, it was in the same vein as what he just said, but the ultimate thing was, are we willing basically to trust Father? Because if you're not open to him, then there's some reason why you're holding back, and that's usually because you don't trust him. And as Q just said, none of us wants to go through some trial or tribulation, but we've been taught that when you and I do go through those things, they're for our perfection. So I just wanted to bring that to everybody's attention, that as chief guardians, Father expects more from us because we have been tasked with protecting and helping the bride of Christ. And we can't really teach somebody if we don't have any empathy as to what those people have experienced or went through. And that's why he picked you, because of the unique life that you've lived and the difficulties that you fought through to help you become the person that you are. Does anybody have any questions? Okay. The other question I'm going to ask is, are we being consistent? And how do we act? What does that mean? When you and I say we're going to do something, or we tell somebody something that we are going to help them with or be a part of, do we follow through with that? Or are we some kind of a goofball who doesn't really hold themselves to that standard? Or we think that they're just going to understand because something came up. Because honestly, if we're supposed to be like Father, I ask this question. Would you like Father to be a flake in your life when you're going through something difficult and he basically just kind of says, oh, I don't have time for that. So I guess you're going to have to figure it out on your own. Yeah, that would galactically be a pain in the butt. So I'm going to ask again, when you are being a guardian or even this applies to everybody. If you're going to do something and you say something, then you need to do it. Because I'll tell you this too. Sometimes we frustrate the three of them because they put together a plan and a path for our path to cross somebody else's. Do you have any idea how much time Father invests in getting that to happen? Plus, he's already prepared that heart so that they'd be open to something you and I need to teach them, and then you and I don't do it. Then you may find that there's this incessant nagging that takes place in the back of your head, and you can't have any peace until you actually follow through with it. They don't like nagging. And we would make their lives so much easier if we just did what Father's asking of us. And that's also the point he was making where he asked us, all I need you to do is follow my will. He knows that you and I have lives, and he knows that we have different things that come up and get in the way, but what is the most important job in your life? And I'm going to let Starlight talk about that right now.
So we all know that I've been looking for a new job. I think, I don't even know how long, like over a year. So a month, maybe a month ago, or a couple weeks ago, I had a, I stumbled across this job opportunity, and it was a next higher position for me with another company, with a competitor company. And I was basically a shoo-in for it. I went for the interview, and it seemed as though that, you know, I was going to get the job. They were talking in terms that, you know, that we were going to do this and we're going to do that. And they, you know, had my name basically put in into the dialogue of it all. So then when the time comes to hear about the job, well, they called me during the in-between part of it. Long and short of the story is that they were wondering about my wage and if I was willing, you know, to what I was willing to be paid. So the long and short of it is that at the end of the day, the people that I interviewed with needed to take my information and other candidates' information in front of the company. And you and sitting and looking at the job and what they wanted and everything, it was as if Father had created this job for me, and he had dropped it in my lap, and everything was perfect, absolutely perfect. And so now all I needed was the phone call to tell them that they wanted it. You know, I mean, it was just, I thought I had it. Well, in the long and short of it, they decided at the last minute that I did not have it. So I got that. They didn't even bother to call. They gave me the nice rejection email. So I was devastated, absolutely devastated. I mean, my mind was swirling trying to figure out, this job was perfect. Everything that was needed, you know, everything that Father, you know, knew that I was in need of and, you know, wanted and everything. It was just handcrafted. And I had a really hard time digesting it. And then finally, and I'm sure there was something that just wasn't right. So he flipped the switch and said, no way, you're not going there, which is fine. I'm thankful for it. I still don't, in that moment, I didn't understand, and I was upset. But then it made me realize, and I'll make this point, my job still to this day kind of drives me crazy. And I have a hard time going to it every day, but I put on a smile and I walk in and I do the best that I can. But the part that keeps me sane every day, and the reality of the disappointment and then going over to this, going to my job, I came to the realization that when I go to the company that I work for, that is my second job. I am at my first job 24 hours a day, and my first job is Father. My first love is Father. So it helps me with my existence with my company now. I mean, and there's nothing, it's just, you know, time to move on with them, but it makes it a whole lot easier in knowing that my first job is Father and his business and his plan. And it gives me a level of sanity when I have to go into my my current employer. And I took some time and I realized that I do a ton of work every day with Father's plan right inside my second job. So that makes it a little bit easier to deal with every day.
Thank you. I'll ask this question. What does it mean to be a child of God or to be a guardian? And I'm addressing both of this because it doesn't matter if you're a child of God or if you're a guardian. We have all been created to serve Father. And it doesn't matter the status or the title that we have. I know from a fact for myself, when I'm at the companies that I've worked at, I have served in a capacity of discussing my faith with certain people. I have offered energy healings and meditation classes. So the point I'm trying to make is, it is not just to protect the bride of Christ. It's not just to do the tasks that Father's given us. It is to be who you are, the way he created you. We have the ability to make choices in our lives, and those choices help define who we are. So you and I need to choose wisely. And as we discussed last month, you need to do something and choose to do something. I'm just throwing that out there. I have no idea why I'm bringing that up. But you need to decide what you want to do now in your life. If you want to be a part of the bride, then you and I have to do our work now. And in that same vein, maybe you think to yourself that you're insignificant, that you personally don't even matter, and that you question why you're even part of Father's family, or you're a part of this team, and I don't care what role you play on this team. I'm talking to the spouses of guardians too, and vice versa. What is it that, you know, you're supposed to do, and you don't feel that you're that important? We had lunch this afternoon again, and I brought the point that sometimes I believe that I am the cotter pin in Father's work. And what is the cotter pin? When I used to work on cars, there was a front disc for your brakes. And to take off that disc so you could grind it down and replace it was a bolt or a nut that you had to unloosen. Then you would do your work. You would put the new hub back on, and there was this nut that secured that hub onto the car, and you would twist the nut as tight as you could, and then you would back it off a half a turn. And then you took this little piece of metal, which is known as a cotter pin, and you stuck it through a hole, two holes, in between that nut, and you bent it around that nut. If you didn't have that little cotter pin, over time, that little nut would back off, the hub would fall off, which is attached to your wheel. So I ask this question, is that cotter pin insignificant, or is it monumental because of the function it serves? All of us have a place in Father's plan. It's our responsibility to find out what that is. And if you don't know what that is, then you need to ask Father. But I can tell you this, we as a team need each other. If you don't feel like you have an active part, then you can pray. If you're the spouse of a guardian and you feel in your gut that they're slacking off, you have the right to smack them in the back of the head and say, why aren't you being active? Why aren't you being who you are? I don't mean to have, you know, I'm not making for spousal abuse here. But the point I'm making is we need to be who Father says we are. And the ultimate definition of who every single human being is we are a small piece of Him. And we are His children. Nothing else really matters when you think about it. And even as Starlight said, her job is not the most important thing. Doing Father's will and being a guardian is the most important thing. So I'm just throwing that out there, okay? I also wanted to share at this time, because Father said I could, the reason why I've been, if you want to use the word, harping on all of you, and Father has been greatly encouraging all of us to be active, to do what He's asking of us, because you guys have the title Chief Guardians. And I told you months ago that down the road there's going to be people that are termed guardians. They'll have the same power and authority. They will do what we do. Now here's the difference. They will report to you as a chief guardian. So in time, you will all manage your own teams. If you can't do what Father's asking of you now, how are you going to manage a team of your own in time? That's why, I'll be honest, that's why I'm being so hard on you sometimes, and I'm greatly encouraging you. It is our responsibility to protect the bride of Christ, and I'll be honest with you, 10 people can't do that on their own. We can't. So Father's going to pick other people, He's going to add them to our numbers, and then I'm going to assign them to certain guardians, chief guardians, and in time we're going to build your teams, and you will answer to me, and they will answer to you, and together we're going to do this work that Father's asked of us. Does anybody have any question at this point? Okay. Last month I discussed with you that we should pick a shortcoming and we should go into eternity and we should spend time with that group. I would like to take this a little bit farther, okay? I would ask everyone, I will challenge everybody on the call. I need you to pick one shortcoming, an easy one, or a small one per se. And I would like you to focus on that one shortcoming this week. That's the only thing you need to work on. Today I looked at Father and I said, I'm going to work on this one shortcoming this week. If you could please give me the strength and the focus to stop myself before I follow through with it, I would appreciate that. And I asked Jesus if he would help everybody through his sacrifice to give everybody the strength they need to work on this. It's difficult for us. Well, let me back up. There's a general brushing over this subject where we say to ourselves, well, I need to overcome my shortcomings and I know what they are. And then we go through the week and we don't actually focus on one specific one. We try to work on every single one of them. And I don't know about you, but I am failing miserably every week because I come to Father with the exact same things I talked to him on Sunday last week. He still will forgive us because we're making an effort. So the thought came from HS today. Just pick one. Focus on one. See how you do this week with just one. Now, I'm not giving you carte blanche to screw up and do all the other ones. Just focus on one and see if you can't be successful. Even if you're successful for a day, that's still something, folks. It really is. All right? And if someone said to me, well, I don't really know exactly which one it is, I'm going to cry. That's crap. We all know what our shortcomings are. And like I said, maybe it's as small as judging or swearing or persecuting, right? You know, something is along that line. If that's not what your cup of tea is, you know what you need to work on. And there's big shortcomings and there's little ones. Pick one little one, okay? I'm not going to ask you what they are. I'm not going to ask you to report back personally, but I am in the next meeting next month going to say, have you had any success? And I'd really appreciate it if you'd be honest with me and say, I'm still fighting through it, or yes, I have. If you don't feel comfortable answering, then it'll be dead silence, and I'm kind of used to that. So it's all good. All right? Anything anybody else would like to discuss or bring up? Any experience? Okay. Go ahead.
Just found out today. Danielle and I were both. Danielle and Jeremiah were at Diane's house, and I was up north in Cadillac at a meeting. And we both got home around the same time, and noticed that our front window was open and the screen had been pushed into the house and wasn't broken or anything like that. So nobody had gotten in the house. Nothing was missing. But then my neighbor came over this evening, and I asked her if she had seen anybody at the house, and she said the neighbor opposite of her, she's had some mental issues and she believes some issues with medications that kind of maybe interact with each other or whatever. If anybody knows, you know, my neighbors, there's one to the north of us that they're an older couple. They're very nice. They're very sweet. There's one to the south of us, and he's got a lot of cars out in his front yard. Well, this neighbor opposite the nice couple was found naked and dead in one of his cars up front yesterday.
No.
Yeah, and I guess the police were up and down the road, and I that's all I know. I called the deputy to let them know that we had, you know, found the screen pushed in, and, you know, that's really all I know at this point. So I don't know any of the who's and what's with those individuals at that property, but I just know that just happened, and I know that there was a lot of angel work going on over, you know, Friday night and Saturday during the day to kind of keep our property out of whatever happened. So just prayers for that family. I don't know anything other than just that, but maybe prayers for that family. And they've had some mental instability issues for quite a long time in the family. So just prayers for them and my neighbors too. They're as you can imagine, the one who owned the vehicle that she was found in is pretty distraught. So,
sure.
Thailand, there's a brother in the Colorado area. Danny Tyrone, do you remember him?
Oh, yeah, I sure do.
Yeah, I remember Danny.
Can you pray for him? Because he was dating this girl for about 4 months, and he was really, you know, saying that it was the love of his life and everything, and she died yesterday. So
No.
So if you guys can please remember him, because he's a really good guy, and so I got to give him a call.
Sure can.
If I can help him out a little bit, so.
Sure can. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
If everybody can remember my family, we were at dinner this afternoon, and my mom choked while she was eating, and to the point where my brother had to do the Heimlich on her, and we had to call 911. And but it was in front of my kids and my siblings, and it was very intense. And my mom is okay, but it's pretty, like, my sister's pretty much traumatized because she was the one that noticed it happening, and we're all pretty shaken up by it. But if you could just remember everybody, and especially my kids, my son Jacob is pretty upset by it, and he takes everything, everything freaks him out anyway, and he's a hypochondriac, so he's probably going to chew his food like 70 times over and over times. So,
yeah.
Poor Jacob.
Yeah, she has a narrowing of her esophagus, and so that's actually why it happened. It actually had nothing to do with the size of her bite. It actually has to do with how dry the food was. So, yeah, it was scary.
Sure can.
Pray for her and the family.
Anybody else? Okay. This Tuesday is 9/11, so I'm going to ask everyone to not forget the souls and the families that were affected by that day. Okay. This morning I had decided that I should bound Satan again, so he's bound. I don't have any specific reason to this. I just felt prompted, so I did. So he's bound, so be on your toes, because I'm sure his little ankle biters are going to step up and, you know, continue his work for him. I'm also going to ask everyone personally to pray for our mom. She is back in the hospital as of yesterday. We took her to a different hospital than she was at from 2 weeks ago, and basically she's exactly where she was when she went in 2 weeks ago. And she's congestive heart failure. She's a half a point away from complete kidney failure. But she has a good team of doctors actually this time, and they are pretty confident that they can help her. I will tell you that Father told my mom that she had one specific task left that she would have to do before he would even consider bringing her home. I explained to her what that task was. It's one of her shortcomings, I'll be honest. I'm not going to tell you what it is. But she actually made a great effort to overcome that. And Father quietly said to me last week that she's ready. And then he said, when your mother crosses over, she will not be ushered into a realm because she met that requirement I gave her. She has met her perfection. And she will actually be handed off to your dad, and they'll work together. So my family and I have accepted the fact that our mom is not going to be around much longer. She is miserable, and because of the care that she received at this other hospital, they actually weakened her heart even more than it was before. So if you could please remember her, we would appreciate that. If that's it, then I will pray.
Hey, Thailand, I really don't mean to interrupt.
No,
when
please.
We were talking about that whole scenario and your dad in eternity and your mom and what she has to overcome, our discussion as we were standing in the kitchen was awesome. Would you mind sharing that the change in your dad in eternity from the first time you asked?
Sure can. I'll actually let Starlight talk about that subject because she had a direct dealing with my dad. So I'm throwing you under the bus, hon.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. So, well, I had a connection with Pop for a long time, and his demeanor and personality with me is we joke around, but he's very much business, and he works in eternity, and he'll come visit, and he was training me in the very beginning when I was going into the different realms, and I still work with him when I go into different realms. So at first, and I know Tryland, he makes a joke and all that and asks him, so are you ready for mom? And he'll, oh, all right, I guess, you know, or I'm not, okay, you know, and you could just tell that there was always a level of unsure, or I guess it wasn't horrible, but it was just like this, you just knew it wasn't quite right yet. And when all this was happening, I had spent some time and Tryland had seen Thaddeus, then the whole thing with him, with Thaddeus handing his mom over to Pop and all of that. And at one point, Tryland had asked his dad, hey, are you ready for mom? And, you know, and he cracked the joke of, I guess so. Well, then as we were moving through the weekend and it was getting a little bit further on into the weekend, I can't remember exactly what happened, but I was talking to him and spending some time with Pop, and the dynamic of everything kind of changed once Mom knew that she needed to change, and she knew that this was her final task, and that she, once she completed this task, then Tryland had told her about the whole, she wouldn't go into a realm in eternity because she would be perfected. Well, all of her, everything about her, once she spent some time and thought about it, and she spent some time changing, and I know she spent time with Father, talking to Father and asking him and trying to figure it out in the Holy Spirit, because even the next day when we saw her, her personality was completely changed. She was a different person. Well, then that, I believe it was that morning before we even saw her, Pop came and said, I had heard him say, I'm coming for you, kid. And I realized at that time, his whole demeanor and personality had changed. And I, you know, are you really ready for her? And he says, yeah. Well, during that conversation and different impressions came through, it was before he's in eternity and he wasn't ready. He himself had to get through some things and prepare himself for her. And she needed to have her prepare herself. So since she wasn't prepared, Pop wasn't ready for her to come because he saw the condition that she was in now. And so once she was able to start perfecting herself and working on her shortcomings is when he finally was able to, I say, make right with himself, I guess, or prepare himself to be ready for her.
Correct. My parents were 16 and a half years apart, so my dad always referred to my mom as kid, which drove her insane. So it was his little pet conversation or name for her.
And he told her to hurry it up.
in true my dad's true fashion, he was standing by the bed and he looks at me and he goes, we need to hurry this thing up because I don't want to pay for another night. So I said, that's my dad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But all of my relatives were in the room, my mom's parents, my dad's parents, all our aunts, uncles, and cousins, and even our Catholic relatives are now all sealed. They've been in eternity for a very long period of time, but they all were sealed and they're all waiting for mom. So we've all accepted the fact that mom's going to be gone soon, but we appreciate the prayers. Okay. We've gone a little over, so please let me pray with you, and then Starlight will pray after me. Our next meeting is Sunday, October 14th, and I wish you all a blessed week. Kind, loving Father, we come before you and we say thanks again for spending the time with us right now, for enlightening us, for giving us insight to different situations and different things that you would like us to work on and improve on. And I know, Father, that as we as guardians and as spouses and friends, we will pick that one shortcoming and you will help us even more than you have in the past, because we are all going to make a greater effort, and we appreciate that. There are many cares and concerns that rest on the hearts of everybody on the call, and I know, Father, you will give ear, and you will step in when the time is right, and you will give answer. We pray for our congregations that we work in. We pray for the districts we work in. We pray also, Father, for the entire conglomerate of our church. We pray for the world, that you will, Father, shine their light, your light on them, and open the door for our future, because as guardians, Father, we're going to be able to teach on a new level that no one has even heard of in different settings, in different forms, in different information. And the entire purpose as to why you created us is to teach everybody how to have a closer relationship with you. And we can teach that because we have that. And we appreciate, Father, that you allow us to come to you anytime we need to, that you never turn us away, that you don't judge us, that you don't ridicule us, that you don't belittle us. And even, Father, when we fail miserably, you just say to us, please try harder. That touches our heart, Father, and that truly is a father's heart. We want to be good children. We want to be good examples. So we pray that you will give us the strength to accomplish that. Many people have brought up different people tonight. We think of Danny Tyrone, Father. It is a heartbreaking situation when we lose someone so close to us. So I pray for the soul that passed, and I also pray for Danny and his family, too, that they have the strength, Father, to move forward, and that when you take something away from somebody, you usually give them back 10 times the worth of what it was when it was taken away. We pray also for Lightstar's mom, with the scary moments that they shared this afternoon that has affected many of the family members. You are the only one, Father, who can step in and provide the balm that is needed to soothe their hearts, to give them the confidence that you're with them. Please be kind. We pray also for Brilliance and her little daughter, Giselle, who are driving now down to Indianapolis for a doctor appointment tomorrow. We pray, Father, that you will guide the hands of the doctors and the nurses, that you will provide that they can find a cure for the situation that Giselle has, and that they will have peace in their hearts as they discuss these options with the doctors. We also pray for Danielle and Atmos and the little pair that she carries. It is such a wonderful gift, Father. Anytime somebody is able to receive a child, it is a huge trust that you have on that human being, on both of them, to raise these children according to what you want. So we pray for wisdom for them and strength, especially for Danielle, that she can bear this pair, because it's hard enough to carry one. Now she's carrying two. See the hearts of everybody here. If we've missed something, I know you'll cover it. And as always, according to your will, we ask. We pray, too, for those in 9/11 that we have asked the team to remember, for all the souls who lost their lives and every single family member that was affected on any side of this airplane or any other kind of problem that took place, those that caused it and those that were impacted because of it. You are the one who grants the grace. We are the ones who merely are the tools to ask. Thank you for everything. According to what we ask, and in your name we pray. Thank you, Father, for everything. We love you. Please hear us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, please look into our hearts and see everything that we have and that we carry with us. Open our hearts and our eyes and our minds so we can take the information that was given to us tonight from you and other guardians, and take this information and use it and for us to learn, and so we can move forward and grow as part of your plan. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, everyone. Love you guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Love you too. Have a great moment.
Take care. You too.
All right.